Well, I have a question.
No, I don't have a question.
How did you head into Victorian style writing?
How did I head into the Victorian style writing? I thought of an idea for a ghost story first, and as I thought about it and started taking notes about how it might work, it seemed better if the mother was somewhat isolated from modern medicine. It seemed better if she was expected to do things that would have made a woman of that era uncomfortable. And so it, bit by bit, the story seemed to sharpen if it was Victorian. Does anyone hear a ghostly giggling?
It's a baby.
Thank you. I am superstitious, I admit. The ghost-busting gentleman in the front row informs me as a real baby. Although you can't see the baby from where you're sitting, can you? A rationalist. A materialist rationalist. More often than not, the dead were frustrated or simply bored. And in sinister vengeance, the dead often bored and mocked you in return. The wood of furniture imprisoned them, and their only solace was to make the sideboard groan in darkest night or throw open a cabinet door with a bang again and again, even when the living latched it securely. It fell to Anne to expel them, sometimes with the help of an actor-turned-carpenter posing as an expert of the occult. Usually, when the dead were able to speak, they did not appear, and when they did appear, smelling of lavender water or attar of rose or mold, they were mute, and then either desperate to communicate something they could not, or so serene as to be almost unrecognizable as the loved ones once known for their wit or nervous energy. Anne had seen countless ghosts of once wild people, now grim-faced and slow, blurred at their edges, looking only for a place to sit, but comfortable nowhere. The dead had messages to transmit, with an urgency that made Anne's ears sting and her legs swell and her blood rush to her visibly pulsing temples, but when she offered the dead the opportunity to speak through her throat, when she'd arranged every element of a parlor to their known tastes in light and silence and closed eyes and hands gripping in a circle, what did the dead finally have to say for themselves? Where am I? Or remember me? Nothing more and often much less. I do not like your bride. Do not wear my dresses. This is too oily. Take it away. They were often rude. I never liked you, or you, or you, or you. The skittering shade of a child told the circle of her grieving survivors. The dead were often tired, confused, petulant, distractible. That's not where I kept the sugar, said a baker dead from syphilis, pointing to the ceiling. I liked the sugar in my bed. It made the feathers align. Or they were pointlessly cryptic, knocking over the same candelabra every 8 minutes, precisely for 88 minutes on the 8th of August, beginning at 8 o'clock on the 8th anniversary of nothing that anyone could recall. No death, no carriage accident, no fatal fire. Their messages often had no discernible meaning even to their nearest family, unable to decipher pressing dispatches of gibberish, as the dead wrote again and again with an invisible finger in the silver dust of a looking glass, remember to blaze, and the family would have been glad to do so if they had known what it meant. Yes, very occasionally, the departed would glint with malice. Death did not evaporate the anger or evil in some of them, only condensed it into a syrup that flowed in their translucent veins and seeped under the pillows and meals of the living. They approached the living, leering and furious, until the living fell backwards down staircases. They pointed at knives until the living cut their own throats for them. They scared poor folk to death from spite or to settle a score from life that festered in them still. But they did not ever, ever touch the living. They could lift items and with those strike the living. Anne had seen the bodies for which no other explanation could suffice. But to touch the living, as Constance believed a spirit now touched her child, this had never been. And so part two is told from that spiritualist point of view. And part three from the husband's point of view. But maybe we'll take a moment to stretch our legs. Or